continue your presence by the blood of Jesus. We continue in reverence, respect, honor before your throne. We continue under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege of these few minutes to exhort, share your word. I pray that yet I come with humility, with reverence, with respect before your throne. Now, Father, you grant me the grace and the unction under the covering of these fathers to minister the word of God, and under your lordship to minister the word of God with power, with accuracy, with clarity, with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Pray that a clear channel will be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, that as share the word and as we share, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will dissolve doubts in our lives, you solve the riddles that have been burdening us, you will cause glory to go to the name of Jesus, and blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against effectual fervent, against the delivery and the receiving of the word. Come against every plan, device of the enemy, spirit of fear, unbelief, weariness, weaknesses, slumber, intimidation, offense, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. Such contrary foul spirits, we cast you out, we destroy your works, resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. Let there be the liberty of the living God, even as we share the word and as we interact in the name of Jesus, that Father, our fellowship indeed will be with God and with one another in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. Help me to be concise, precise, redeeming the time, not saying anything unnecessary. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's not convincing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me just say ahead of time that we're having, like Pastor Lara said, an interactive session. You have questions. Sometimes I know some people are ready to ask their questions. Some people may be very shy with their questions. So, just get a sheet of paper, write it down. Okay? So, the ushers will be going around. Bro, Mo. Oh, okay. Precious is there. So, when that time comes, you take questions. So, you can pour out your mind. Okay? And then we will. God will help us. We'll try to answer. I want to share briefly. Let me make sure I look at the time. You're very time conscious. Share on prioritizing your relationship with God. Priority. Prioritizing your relationship with God. There used to be this, it was a song, but I remember first seeing it written in someone's room when I was in my 100 or 200 level. How do you treat God? Like a G-O-D or a D-O-G? Because the G-O-D is to be reverenced and to be worshipped. The D-O-G, you throw bone to it once a while. So you say, how do you treat God? Like a G-O-D or like a D-O-G? There are two things. There's 24 hours in a day, and you have one life to live. Praise the Lord. There's 24 hours in a day, and you have one life to live. So, when it comes to prioritizing your relationship with God, it's looking at that time within each day, and how long you even have to live. Praise the Lord. What is your life? James asked. It is actually like a vapor. When you are boiling the kettle, you actually see it and then pim. There's no time. Praise the Lord. There's what? My next major birthday, I'll be 60. I was born yesterday, for goodness sake. I was born yesterday, I'm telling you. So sometimes I think I say, what? The next major birthday is 60. That's a joke. When I talk to students, I give them examples from 100 level, 200 level. They look like yesterday. But I'm talking 35 years.
But it actually looks like yesterday.
The time is going.
Redeeming the time. Because the days... I need that scripture. I didn't even put it, but it's the one I'm going to ask first. Ephesians chapter 5. Redeeming the time. Let's read it. Eka. Because I always say, it's when we come to hear the word of God, that people are meek and quiet. Say, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. That scripture is prophetic. Its days of fulfilling is as we are speaking. We'll say it again. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. You are planning something. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Praise the Lord. The days are evil. The days are fleeting, shaking. All staff on Twitter in Africa, all overnight sacked. All, not one, all sacked. You can't work in Twitter Africa if you are not one of the best. Overnight, their job's gone. That Facebook 11,000 going. But that's the world we live in. So it's calling us to question. Are you the one planning your life? Or your life is in God's hands? And I always say, there's only one way to go about it. Follow God's will. Amen. Be careful to want to know. Let's say, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Go to the next verse. It's just the next verse. Wherefore, Bible say, pastor says, anytime you see therefore in the Bible, it's good to know what is therefore. Because it's telling you to redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, based on the fact that the days are evil, be not unwise. Say it. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. A man of God, I heard say many. God, we always redeem the time. He said, no, wherefore? Be not unwise. Amen. Or rather, wherefore? Don't be like the foolish virgins. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Understanding what the will of God is. Praise the Lord. What the will of God is within time. And for your life. Amen. So prioritizing your relationship with God. Matthew 6. Okay, so let's go to this one's just came. I wasn't planning to talk on this. Matthew 6, verse 33. Let's start from 32. Let's start from 32. 31. Therefore, take no thought. Or really, the spirit is that don't be consumed in thoughts. Don't be overwhelmed in thoughts. Saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't be consumed in thoughts about that blouse, that jeans consumes you to the extent that God can be pushed to the background. You know, it looks like words, but that's what we do in action. Push God to the background. God will consume into what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. That job, that this, that this. And I like Maybe you think the Bible is unreasonable. Go to the next verse. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That means the needs of life should separate you from the unbeliever. Because those needs are his God. They are not your God. Praise the Lord. They are not your God. He said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So he's not saying you are spooky for thinking of what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you will clothe. But you can't be like the unbeliever who has made those things their God. In the world, in Nigeria, in Abuja, they always say, when they are talking money issues and somebody is blocking them, they say when the stakes are high, then anything is possible. What I've just said, when somebody is not ready to sign something so that the money can come out illegally, then we are ready to take him out. That's because that money is their God. Praise the Lord. That's their God. So if anybody is blocking it, there is nothing about take him out. It looks strange, but as a Christian, if you so much start to take money, you'll be amazed what you will do. Bible is clear. For the love of money is the root of all evil. What happened? Money has become their Bible says, whose God is their belly. That's what God is always after to say. When this comes up, I can be thrown away. God can be disposed of. And he is a jealous God. You are his child. You are his son. Even Miss Mommy, my son pushed me to the background. I will feel hot. Not to talk of how we do to God. You know, in a lighter mood, I had to get used to it. Because my first son, he pushes me to the background, puts his mother first. So I always, when he tells me something, I want to hear it from his mother. Because anything he hasn't told his mother is still subject to change. If he tells me, but he hasn't told his mother, then he can still change it. It's the one that he has told his mother, that's the one that really matters. All the guys here, don't worry. You will soon have your first son. Eh? You will soon have your first son. You will first like you, age 9, age 10, then age 15, 17. Maybe he feels, you're a man, I'm a man too then. He start to prioritize. Get used to it too. Praise the Lord. The way I solve my own problem in my heart is that, well, once my wife is loved, I'm okay. Okay, let's go back. 6:33. But seek first. No, Pastor, God bless Pastor. 20 years ago, he didn't say seek only. He says, seek first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you as God prescribes. That's what that statement means. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you as God prescribes. Amen. I've said it here before. God's plan is that you can have it all. But you have to have it in his time. Amen. Yes, Bible says all things are yours. Amen. But where's the priority? Like a man of God once said, he said, who is a disciple? A disciple is simply a Christian who flows in the priorities of God. That's a disciple. He flows in the priorities of God. Seek ye first. Yeah, thank you for this. For all things are yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things
shall be added unto you. Psalm 63 verse 1.
Oh God. It's worship. Oh God. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Praise the Lord. Some of us only want to respond when we see the water. But this one says, my God, my soul thirsts for you. Early will I seek thee. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you there are 24 hours in a day. Praise the Lord. And you only have one life. So early will I seek thee. You seek him early in the morning. And you seek him early in your life. Remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. You seek him early in your life. And you seek him early in the day. Praise the Lord. Early will I seek thee. Amen. And the added one to that is that when God tells you something, do it quickly. Praise the Lord. That's early seeking. Early will I seek thee. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 8:17. I love them. Where is it? No, Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me. That's a story on his own. Praise the Lord. The degree you love me, the degree I love you. That's God talking. Praise the Lord. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Seek God early. Tell my children, it's a privilege to know God when you are young. So that his imprint is already in your life very early. When we were growing up then, and I mean, we were nominal Christians. We didn't want anything to do with all these born again fanatics. Let me live my life first and be a rich man and make money. Then I will serve God. No. Early should you seek God. Praise the Lord. And I know what the devil have done. I mean, he's painted those pictures too to me. You start to pray, read the Bible early in life. You'll just be a poor man. This world is tough. You'll not be able to maneuver in this world and go. First go and maneuver first and find your way. After you can now, he painted that picture to me. He paints it to all of us. So too, it just gives you the belief that if you seek God, you won't really make it. Yes, I know make it made somebody very happy. That word resonated. He said, if you seek God, you won't make it. If the devil paints the picture. But the scripture cannot be broken. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. And the Bible has told us how God adds it. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together and running over. Amen. Okay, I think I'm going to take just like 10 more minutes. I love them that love me. And they that seek me. But I love them that love me. I remember we talked a few weeks ago here about prioritizing the love confession. Amen. God is love. So when you are, the way you are, you seek God is to seek to have the love of God in your life. Because God is love. Prioritize it. Praise the Lord. Prioritize it. Let God have his way in your life. You're putting his love in your life. It's, Bible says somewhere, the love of God constricts us. Implant that scripture. You help me get it. The love of God, that's why sometimes we don't seek God's love. Because God's love constricts. He tells you, don't do that too.
don't go there. Amen. And what does young people want today? Their liberty. Their freedom. Amen. But with the love of God, for the love of Christ, constraineth us. And you can't, you just have to believe. You can't be a loser in the path of love. But it will constrain you. It will tell you to apologize. It will tell you to forgive. It will tell you to do good to the people you don't want to do it to. It will tell you this is not the time. It will tell you, hold on there. The love of God constrains us. But love never fails. Amen. Amen. Love never fails. That's the scripture. It constrains us. But when we pass through it, we'll find that it never fails. Prioritizing our relationship with God. Praise the Lord. You have 24 hours in a day. You have one life to live. You have to prioritize it for God. I think God started actively, that I know, God started being on my case when I was 14, 15. I mean, I went to church all my life, but I knew I didn't know God. The deep. But around 14, 15, God, I could feel that subconscious speech that you got to go seek God. And I always argue with myself. Or argue with God. Maybe you argue with yourself. I'm a nice person. I'm not a bad boy. But God was calling, seek early. Seek early. And at 17, bam, it was like checkmate. 17 is when we just wanted to start saying, it's time to become boys. I'm moving to town. We just want to start doing boys. I'm moving to town. Because from 0 to 17, they've told us, don't smoke. We obeyed. Don't drink. We obeyed. Don't womanize. We obeyed. Read your book. We obeyed. But 17, we are no longer children. Just when in the thought, so I said, it's time to move it. God just gave me, bam, checkmate. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, looking back, I'm thanking God. You prioritize your relationship. Amen. I'm going to end the exhortation by painting a picture about priority. You see, the priority I've talked about so far, or let me say the priority I want to talk about now, is God's priority. And really, the truth, none of us knows God's priorities for our life. Amen. You are trying to live right, fine, uncle. But I'm talking of, there's a higher priority. That higher priority is when God shows up in your life and makes a demand. Praise the Lord. Joseph was a good boy. Stayed with his father. He brought his father the evil report of his brothers. But one day, God showed up in his life and started giving him dreams. Praise the Lord. And started driving the course of his life
different from the good boy that he was. Higher, let me use the word. Higher than the good boy that he was. That's the priority of God. And everybody, Pastor Luby told us on Wednesday about how God showed up in his life and messed up his plans. I want to use that word because that's where many of us now struggle. You have your own plan for your life, and God show you are a Christian. I mean, I know you are, come to church, you pray, you read your Bible. Beautiful. But they are all substrates. It's not, that's not the substance. They are substrates for God to now have his way in your life. Pastor told us, he said, he faced his own. And you won't face your own. You won't face pastor's own in your own life. You will face your own. Praise the Lord. Because your own DNA is unique, both spiritual and physical. Pastor finished with first class in UI. He went to serve. He got born again. As he finished his service, he got master's in Imperial College. He went for the master's. And then the whole world was open. And God says, you are going back to Nigeria. There are some things I want to teach you. If you stay here, you won't learn them. And he came to Nigeria. I'm talking first class, University of Badon. First class. Master's Imperial College. Do you know where he landed up? Teaching physics in Igbo Elerin High School. Every other door blocked. Physics, first class UI. 1980. There were a few universities in Nigeria. Ibadan was a world class name. Imperial College, Master's Communication Engineering. Where did he find himself? Teaching physics at Igbo Elerin High School. That will not be your portion. I had, you will face your own. You can see how scary it is. He faced it. You will face your own. You can see people say, that will not be my point. God has everybody's number. Praise the Lord. God has, that's the priority now that I want you to get ready for. You cannot work that priority out. It will come when it will come. Amen. I tell my son, I say, let me just warn you. The day you know you are struggling with God, tell me. Everything can be, everything is going smooth, but a time will come, you will meet God on the way. Paul met God on the way. Amen. He was doing everything, thought it was like, he met God on the way. It didn't change everything. God became his priority. Everybody will meet God on his way. Praise the Lord. One way or the other. And then you will be querying yourself. The real thing is that you are querying God, but you are too, at least you have some sense of respect that you know you are not querying God. So it will look as, so the way it will look as if you are querying yourself, the truth is that you are querying God. Indirectly, you are querying God. Amen. Prioritizing your relationship. Because that thing takes you from the surface to the deeper. Takes you from the surface to the deeper. But get, I mean, it's easy. Things become easier when you are someone who is interested in God's will. Amen. So interested in God's will. It comes to all of us, one way or the other. And your own will be so unique to you. But at the end of the day, who sees everybody is true? Is God. He sees us true. So put away that fear. Fear, I will die. You will die? You are afraid you will die? Who is keeping the life? You think it's you? It's not you. It's not you. Let God have his way. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all other things shall be added unto you. Be added unto you. I will end with a scripture that I was sharing with Pastor Lalo after the service on Wednesday. That Wednesday service was hot. Was witty. Amen. Because Pastor just gave us a little glimpse of the experience. He never wanted, he was just serving God, but it's good. Like I said, you serve God, that is good, but God now shows up. Amen. To take it deeper. Praise the Lord. Nobody knows how God will show up. Moses. Nobody. He never knew that's how God will show up. Paul. Never knew that's how God will show up. But God will always show up. They will walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. I need that scripture. In Colossians also. Walk worthy of God. That's the last scripture. And then we'll go into interaction. Be fruitful in every good work. Yeah. Colossians 1:10. Go to 9. Let me see the background. Yes. It's praying. For this cause, we'll return together. Let me do. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And that's our prayers for you, Zion City Fellowship. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. God will always show up. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Many times we don't want God's will. That's the truth. We may never say it. No one God's will. Why? You have designed your will and you think it is good enough. Foolproof. But you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Semicolon. This will now be the consequence. Verse 10. That, let's read. We. Don't say you now. We. Might walk worthy. Let me go back. That. I might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That the seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added. This way it gets us to. We walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. We'll be fruitful in every good work and we'll become increasing in the knowledge of God. Pastor Parifia, become more conformed to the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the end of prioritizing your relationship with God. You are not a loser. Bible says it. We just need to believe it. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is and the one that is to come. Amen. The devil has made it clear, painted that picture. You are godly. You are only a heaven material. This earth, then you just suffer. You don't. You are poor. And just hang on. And then you go to heaven. And you'll be glorious. Okay. You remember Lazarus? Very poor. Very wretched. And also was a godly man. And then after he died, he went to heaven. And so he paints that picture. Okay. I had those pictures at 21, 22. It was very scary. What's the path to go? You know, go into this God thing, and then you are just poor, and then you really don't be a success, and go. Or, particularly when God showed up in my own life, I'll put that story another day. So, you're really just poor. You're not really making, you're not really financially strong. Uncle, you are vulnerable, you are weak, you are despised. The only thing that you know you have is God. You really don't have any other thing. So it looks scary. Praise the Lord. But why have every, I've been there before, have everything. My mom gave me a car. I got a job. And I'm not living house, I live in the house. There's a cook in the house. Doesn't sleep until I come. And cooks and everything. You have everything. But you don't have assurance that God is with you. I've been on two sides. I tell you that one is bad. is worse. Don't go there. Don't even try to experiment it. And later, I had to learn, it's better to leave this one and go and face God. At the end of the day, God sees you through. Amen. That we might walk worthy of God unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Praise the Lord. I don't know if Pastor Lalo has something to add. Then get ready with your questions, your contributions. Like I said, if you want to write it down, you can also write it down. Bro Precious will be going around to collect.
Thank you so much, Prof. I think we'll just start the interaction straight, but I just want to drop some things that might maybe help to spark questions, or like have boundaries, you know, something that will spark questions and help us to be able to guide, so to speak, when we're asking our questions. And I have to also have contributions. While Prof was talking, I just dropped some points and noted some things. And the first thing I wrote was, what are you seeking? You know, is that a question that you can answer? And the second one I wrote is, what do you really prioritize when you say you're even seeking? What are you seeking first? So the word talks about seeking first the kingdom. Prof has given an exposition on that. But the question I'm asking now is, what are you really seeking? Can you answer that question with all honesty? You know, removing all the masks and all the hypocrisy. And you see, like Prof mentioned something, said that this thing shows up in our actions. What are you seeking? Even that, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? You might not be telling me, but really, on your attention on Facebook and Instagram, what are you seeking? Is it what the people are wearing and what the people are eating and how their lifestyle is that you really focus on? You see, it's inverted, but it's really what you're seeking. Because the way the enemy works these days is very subtle. And we're in the age of technology, and things are... He is also the God of this age, but God is the Ancient of Days, you understand? So what consumes you is another way of, what am I seeking? You might not really be pursuing it deliberately, but unconsciously, the thing is grabbing your attention and leading you and guiding you, because it's the prince of the power of the air. So what am I seeking? Are you in a rat race, or have you even paused and said, hey, what am I even seeking? I may not be saying in my mouth, but what is my action playing out? What am I following, you know, at quickly? Then I wrote, in this age of distraction and technology and competition, what are your hindrances to seeking first the kingdom? You know, is it peer pressure? Is it fear? Do you have an assurance that the kingdom consumes all? Do you seek God as priority as a person? Do you have God as your number one priority as a person? Priority as in being the first to call on a daily basis? Or priority as in a place and decision making? So, seeking first the kingdom of God talks about, like Prof said, in the entirety of my life, I'm really pursuing God. On a daily basis, is God the first point of person to call? In decision making and place, is he the first point of thing to think about, or unconsciously something else plays out? Then how have I been prioritizing? I'm just dropping these things, you know, to trigger thoughts and questions. How have I really been prioritizing? Seeking first the kingdom is okay, and some other points I just wrote. That would be a conclusion. But you know, to trigger these things, because you really need to think deep. You might think, oh God, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. You see me in the choir, you see me in church for 1 hour before I'm. But really, when I'm not there, what am I seeking? You know, when it's just me and me alone, or me and my device, or me. You understand? So I just thought I should drop that. Maybe that will trigger some things. And so when you're talking, please, quickly, you know, so that we can get as much contributions and edify each one another as much as possible. And if you're online, you can just type in the chat box on the WhatsApp. One minute.
Okay. Praise God. Please, can we have Jeremiah 29:11 in message version? Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Okay. Sorry, please, can you help us shift it back a bit? We can't really see. Praise God. So it says, I know what I'm doing. This is God speaking. The King James of it is, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And this, the message now says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. So I just want to add to what Prof was saying. When God comes, shows up in our lives, and there's a particular terminology that I've heard. It's called the dealings of God. It seems as if it's fire, and it's actually fire. I'm not saying this to scare us. I'm just saying sometimes you experience, I know we all have experiences. We experience things and you're like, I'm walking with God. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. And then I'm not seeing the results in my life when I compare myself to another person. Of course, we are not supposed to compare ourselves to other people, but these are realities. Sometimes you're like, this guy already has a car, this guy already has this, this guy already has that. But then, I just want us to understand that the Bible says in him are all things. Everything that we see in this world came out of God. So if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, if we are seeking God first, we can be rest assured that the future you hope for, you are going to have it. Joseph's dream always amazes me. Joseph had a dream that his brothers were going to bow down to him. But you know that any dream you have is like a room, a very beautiful room in a great mansion, or let me say a very beautiful mansion in a large estate compared to what God has for you. What the dreams we have for ourselves, they are great. But if you look at the end of when the dream came to pass, it was not only his brothers that bowed down to him. Actually, the whole world bowed down to him because there was famine in the whole of the world. So I'm just trying to encourage us that when we are going through hard times, so to speak, in the dealings of God, let's always remember this scripture. It says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Like what you are seeing now seems like a valley. But at the end, there's a mountain, there's an exaltation. It says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. It's like, I told you, chill, rest, I'll take care of you. So let's trust in God and seek him. There's abundance in him. Amen.
Any other?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Chinedu. Please check the Bible, Jonah 1, verse 3. Let's talk about Jonah. You know, like the way Prof said, you know, you have your own setting, you know, like this is how you want to do your thing, this is how you want to do your thing. And you know God have this plan for you, but the fact that you want to do your own, you try to dodge from it. Just the way Jonah did. He was trying to run away from what God had told him or planned for him. But at the end of the day, he went into the belly of the fish and prayed to God again for forgiveness and all that. And God have mercy on him. And so what I want to say there is that no matter how we plan our own life or plan our do our things, let's try to seek it's from God first of all, so that way seeking the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added unto it. And God bless us in Jesus' name.
Story is not too much of a funny story at all, eh? But you see, God rerouted him. But God had to break him. The belly of the fish. You understand? So even when you have your own plans and you don't want to do it, there are those times when God has a hand on you. You know, but because he loves you, you see? And like your friend was saying, he has a greater dream. And you see, your dream is tied to other people's dreams. If Jonah had gone to Florida when God wanted him to go to Nineveh, you know, I mean, he would have gone, but see, the whale still brought one. He wait time, like Prophet was talking about redeeming the time. 3 days. So you can imagine if he had gone that first day, what could have happened? We don't know whether within those 3 days some people died, you know, but we thank God that God rerouted him using that whale GPS and then got him there on that third day, which was going to be a type of story of the Lord Jesus anyway. But, you know, at the end, lives were saved. So what God has in store for you is something brighter and bigger, like you're talking about, than the minute thing of my personal enjoyment, me, myself, and I, alone. God has a global vision for you in his own plans to save lives, you know, to redeem things. And when Prophet was talking about this, he said something about redeeming the time, and tomorrow things are fleeting. And the truth is this, the reason why the days are fleeting is because the effect, they call it the butterfly effect, the effect of something in Australia is beginning to affect things in South America or in Africa. The war in Ukraine is affecting the global food. Who would have thought that small country is going to affect? So, but what we're trying, that's why the times are serious right now. You might say, oh, me, I'm just in Ibadan here, I'm just in my cubicle. What is happening outside? That's why you cannot just be ignorant. What is happening externally is beginning to affect what is happening internally, even in your minute place. Do you understand? Just the change of the head of a company has made people in a whole continent be sacked. Who would have thought of that? Guys just thought, I'm working in Twitter, one of the best places. But overnight, he got an email. You know, God will have mercy. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let me just say something on what Chinedu said, because, you know, said that you know, you have your own plans, and then, you know, to lay your plans down before God. One key to have to accept very early to make things easy for you is that at the end of the day, the most important thing is not your plans, it's God. Yeah. Now, your plans will come to pass. The problem is that you don't put that plans first. Like Ayofe was saying, what you get in your dream is a code. It's not your life. It's a code. And what's a code? Code is the whole story has been compressed. You really don't know how it's going to unfold out. So rather than battle your head to try to fulfill your code, stay with God. God is going to fulfill that code in his own excellent way. Like Joseph, father, mother, and the stars bowed before me. That in that picture was not that he was going to be prime minister for 80 years. That was not in that code where it ended up. That he was going to feed the whole world was not in that code. So, but the only thing was that, but the Lord was with Joseph. In prison, the Bible says, but God was with him. Potiphar's house, but God was with him. So God was the constant force. At the end of the day, the plans was a done deal. But when it's all about the plan, careful, because if you are honest, one time, God himself is not thrown behind. But that plan is not bigger than God. God, so keep the person. Watch the plan. The plan will fold out.
Okay, so the first question says, in what ways can a believer prioritize his or her life with God? The second question says, what is the important things in relationship with God?
In what way can you prioritize? We started, your day is 24 hours. Seek first.
tight your time. Amen. Thank God here we have good morning Jesus. It's the way we start the day with God. Praise the Lord. So, start the day with God. Start the day with the word of God. With prayers. With repentance. Start the day with God. So, that's where you start from. And then, Pastor Lord, you know, but if we are not careful, sometimes that may turn into religion. Yes. So prioritize God, but now have Him as when issues come up during the day, the first person you acknowledge is God. So that early morning seeking, remove from His religious content, is to build the relationship. And then with that relationship, He is also the first person you speak to when there are issues. You don't relegate God in value. So that priority, it's your life. Praise the Lord. So that is how, what's that second question? Because I think it's just tied to the first. Okay, yes. Your relationship with God, you are seeking His will. Amen. The first way to do that, like we discussed, seek love. Praise the Lord. God is love. God is love. I once said a story to my, I said something to my students a few days ago, but I've said it here before. Real life. I just got married, going to 25 years now, very happy, married my friend. I've dreamt for many years to be married. Now I'm married. Praise the Lord. For many years, like you are dreaming to get married. I dreamt for many years to get married. Okay, now I'm married, but I'm very happy, married my friend. So when I wake up in the morning, my eyes pop open. The next person I see next to me is my wife. She may still be sleeping. But the first thing I do is to hug her. That it's like, ah, I have my treasure. Praise the Lord. But what I started noticing was that when I do that, I feel a sense of error. So, I mean, I didn't tell my wife, but it was like, am I doing anything wrong? This is my wife now. And God now got across me and said, the first person you speak to in the morning, every day is me. It's me. So when that your eye pops open, it's like, Father, I thank you. I bless you. Thank you for your message. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Are you getting? I wasn't taught. These are the things I talk about. God shows up. He will show up. Minor things, major things, super major things. God shows up. Ah, they are super major things. So they are foundational to your life. He will show up. But minor things like that. And you see, when you are getting it in those minor things, praise the Lord. He is, by His help, as He's helping you, He also helps you in major things. So those are things of relationship with God. You are putting God first. Amen. You are putting God first. Like someone who said, he said one time, he said, he has food, he eats, and God told him, you don't stop doing that. It was, the way God said it to him, it was as if, don't kill people. You know, that means, the thing was so weighty. Bless your food, and thank me. Before you start eating. He said, it's not the matter of blessing, but the way God said it, as if he has killed someone. But you see, there's a code in that thing about his life that God, I'm sure, is trying to show to him that always appreciate. Probably somebody with a sense of entitlement. It's like, it's my food. You know, God said, ah, no. Thank me. Bless me. Maybe you are somebody that food can kill later. So God is helping you now. Say, no, acknowledge me first. So, it's good to give examples like this because there's no hard and fast rule. God, how do you define a relationship? You know, on wedding day, we'll preach to you, give you an example. Get married, get into that house with that woman. You will start to learn afresh how to live with someone. We'll just teach you principle. You will find out your own self. So when you get close to God, start with the love prayers. But it's the means to the end. Because I have my infirmity, you have your infirmity. So, when our infirmities are not the same, how do you expect God to deal with us the same? No. There are some things God will be pointing to Him that He will be angry with. Whereas, that's not an issue with you. So, let's prioritize seeking God first, prioritize the love of God in our lives, and prioritize acknowledging God in all our ways. Praise the Lord. And then you start to direct. That's a relationship.
Now start to direct your path, direct my path. Then we all have a story. Amen. Contribution. We devoted time for interaction, and we are not going to waste it. Praise the Lord. Because it's good. Don't bottle things up in your mind. That's why I also give the opportunity, you can write the questions. Because prioritizing is a big deal. Matthew 6:33 is a big, seek first, and other things shall be added. He said, why take worry? These are real, they are real issues. Where will I walk? Which country will I live? All those, what are we eat? What, they are just codes. Where will I walk? Which country will I live? Amen. Who is the sister? Is it Bumi or Fumi? You know, they sound alike. Or Wumi. They all sound alike. But there's one is out, completely out of the will of God. Even though she's a Christian, she prays and she loves God. But for you, it's completely out of the will of God. So you have to prioritize God. Amen. From now, prioritize God. Amen. See, that's why I said things like hugging my wife, and I feel a sense of error. You see, with God, sometimes when you refine things very well, the only thing that pleases God is His will. This is not God's will. It's not bad, so to say. But it's not God's will. And God sees it as very bad. Amen. Very bad. So it's God's will. And sometimes because we don't want that, we just could just tell God to, we won't say it to, but God just, God, enjoy your seat, sir. Please, just sit down quietly. And when there are problems, we will call you. We won't say that, but really when they look at our lives, that's how we live it. Eh? That's how we live it. But as elders, by the grace of God, under the covenant of the fathers, and we actually say, that way doesn't pay. It's short-sightedness. Praise the Lord. Just take God's plans for your life. It's, I don't know it, but obviously it's the best. Amen. You will have the story to say later. Amen. That you followed God and this was the end that you saw. Bible tells us somewhere, it says, remember Job. Is it James? That at the end, the Lord is pitiful and merciful. James 5. Let me get to that. Yeah. Just to tell you that sometimes when God shows up, it's tough. I said, but remember the end of Job. That the Lord is pitiful. Behold, we count them happy which endure. This is a spiritual man talking. Praise the Lord. The people he's calling happy people are those who go through endurance. Amen. We count them happy. Naturally, they don't look happy, so to say. But we know the end of God. So we count them happy who endure. You have had the patience of Job. And I've seen. Let me get ready. You call the proud happy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord. That's Jeremiah 29:11. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. He is pitiful. Don't say it as if he is not. You know the way we say it. It's not the faith that, it's like, why are you leaving me like this? It's actually like an accusation. But he is pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. Makes the end. I want that other scripture. And now, we call the proud happy, and they that walk wickedness are set up. And they that tempt God, that's many times how we speak in our minds. You see, somebody is not prayerful, is not seeking God's will, he has got a good job and everything. Everything is bubbling and everything for him. He's telling you, you are calling the proud happy. Remember James. James said, we count them happy that endure. During endurance, it's like someone is suffering. But, he's going through God's day. We count them happy that endure. But he said, we call the proud happy. He said, those ones are not happy. It's the one that how to make it. But how did he make it? We call the proud happy. And we said, those who walk wickedness, they are set up. We see them. They are up. They are up. Amen. It is well. Our God doesn't forget anybody. Praise the Lord.
So we're supposed to reorientate our minds.
Yes. Reorientate our minds. Amen. That God's will, at the end of the day, that's the glory. Amen. That's the prosperous path. Because that at the end, that God, when he says in James, is pitiful and of tender mercy, is naturally, when you are set on this way and they turn you back, like Jonah, it's obviously like a change of direction, a waste of time, inconvenience, but at the end of the day, that's the love of God. That's the love of God. And that's why I was saying that at the end, God is pitiful and of tender mercy. He's trying to help you out. Amen. Our God is good. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. But a relationship with him comes with some sacrifice. You can't get married and always want to have your way. That's just the thing that we have when we are following God deeply. Because this thing is not good for you. It's going to kill you at the end. It's going to slow you down. That's why God is putting the pin in your balloon. Praise the Lord. But he's going to blow it up later. Praise the Lord. And that's why I give you examples. Joseph, David, Moses. They followed God. It looked tough at the beginning. But at the end of the day, God was pitiful, tender mercies. Everything worked out gloriously. Amen. So let's reorientate ourselves. Waking up early to pray. It's tough, uncle. We count them happy that endure. Uncle. Yeah, the question.
Okay. He said, what could be the consequences for not putting God first? That's the first one. Okay. So, will you answer that one first?
Okay, well, Prof has already mentioned it. There's a way the Bible says it. The consequences of not putting God first ultimately is not fulfilling purpose and destiny. Do you understand? It might look rosy on the outside, but the person, the Bible says, the wicked hath no peace. And again, it ultimately degenerates to a sort of weakness, you know, and, you know, even for some is death. But the point is that the person does not fulfill purpose and destiny. You know, you might be on a course. You know that you are feeling a resistance. But if God just lets you loose there, it's just like the kind of the story of Jonah that Prof was talking about. Rerouting him was actually love. It was against his own will, you know, but ultimately aligning with God's will, he fulfilled purpose and destiny of saving the whole of Nineveh and the lives that were there. So just the major consequence, without telling much story, is that you're not going to fulfill purpose and destiny. That person will not be fulfilling purpose and destiny. You understand? And it's like saying when you get to heaven, they said they wanted to bake donuts. You had to make buns. It's not the same thing as far as they are concerned. Do you understand? So what would be the consequence of not putting God first? It is not fulfilling purpose and destiny. I know the other question. It says, my question is, can a life really be destroyed? So it dovetails into what I just said. Can a life really totally be destroyed if the will of God is not followed? Yes. It can be in measures. You know, there are things that people have not done. For a good example is in the book of Ezekiel. God telling a man, he says, you're supposed to stand in the gap. You know, you heard the cry, you're supposed to warn them, but you don't warn them, and then they die. It says that you are going to, how did he put it? You are going to be the one. Their blood is going to be on you. Do you understand? So can a life be totally destroyed if the will of God is not followed? Yes. A life, and not just your life, but many other lives. And I'm happy that because the person said, for instance, in the days of Noah, he was instructed to build an ark, and in accordance with God's instruction, he took into the ark male and female specimens of all the world's species of animals, and those that were adamant to God's word were destroyed. So, yes, if the animals didn't come in, or if he did not bring in animals, then we will not have the animals that have reproduced after their kind and likeness. So, disobedience to God's will, disobedience will ultimately not just affect your own destiny, but you don't know how many other lives it is affecting. It can be a whole nation. Abraham not going would have affected a whole nation. Because it's from Abraham that we have Israel today. Do we understand? So I think it says, then other questions. What are the blessings of putting God first? Seek first the kingdom of God. All other things will be added unto you. I know that fear is there. The only thing I can tell you is that it might not come at the time that you think it should come. But it will always come. God is never late. And the truth is, never compare yourself with other people. As long as you are comparing yourself with other people, Yoruba will say, "Mafagwala goshishe." I have made up that mind. I've made up my mind that I will never use people's clock. Their own movements and their own acts can trigger me to wake up and to pray more and intensify my prayers, but it will not be what I'll be using as my standard, you know, to direct my life and to guide my life. So never use other people's wristwatch to check your own lifetime. You know, you can learn from their lives and check if their life is in good, in harmony with God's word and God's will and character. You can use it to encourage yourself and, you know, hasten, you know, and motivate yourself. But at the same time, you have to really check the fruit and the source and the motivation and the means of what they are getting. You know, so it says, what are the blessings of putting God first? All other things will be added unto you. What is the priority of God in our lives? Number one, God is a jealous God. Right, so we've all these questions have been answered, but I think what needs to be dealt with is that fear of, if I put God first, are you sure? And you see, let me tell you, you will ultimately, you have to kill that fear. You're going to face that fear. And the way you're going to deal with that fear is by trusting, we've all said it, is faith. You have to trust in God's word. The best I can do is to encourage you, show you in the word, lead you there, you know, and you have to drink it yourself. You know, because I will just end with this because of time. See, the word of God, I like what Chinedu was saying, the word of God is the map. The Holy Spirit is the guide. The fivefold ministries, we are just here to give you the understanding, encourage you, strengthen you. Ultimately, you have to go to the word, which is going to give you faith. That thing that we said, all that we preach today is from the word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What you need is faith. They obtain the kingdom by faith. And then the examples that we are seeing, they might not be many. But does God's word work? God's word works. Do you understand? The one that I have seen in the world is fickle. I don't know where they're going to end. Of course, I know where they're going to end. If people don't change. You know, but you cannot use people as your standard. God's word is your standard. God is out looking for God. The number one in your life is God. In the event of life is God, the process. And at the end, ultimately, he wants you to be like him, God. So it's all about God. Are we together? And just to now finally end. See, this thing is by practice. Prof said it. It's not religion. It might start as a duty that you have to really, because you have two nature in your lives. One that wants to do God's will, the other one that doesn't want to do God's will. So that guerrilla warfare goes on. And so you have to practice. You have to go against it. It might still be, you know, a force every morning to put God first. You know, usually it might be your phone that wakes you up. And the first thing that will consciously you go is Twitter or Instagram or WhatsApp. But, it's God. You're going to have to reorientate it. You're going to have to renew that mind and rewind. Do you understand? And reprogram it. And then you'll be going against your flesh. And before you know it, it'll become a normal thing in your life. To acknowledge God. Right now, we're still just saints. But you now start practicing it. Sometimes all I just say is, God have mercy. Sometimes I just say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done concerning this matter. And I just have peace of mind like that. At least I have done God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it's a relationship that you need to practice. You know? And God will help us in Jesus' name. We'll probably continue this thing next week because of time. Let me just see this. If it's something I can answer. It all goes back to the same thing. Is it possible we know beforehand what God's plan is for us? And how do we know God's will? I'm not going to cut corner. You have to know God's word. You have to begin, let's put it like that. Because you're not going to know the entire Bible in one day. And the entire Bible is just 66 books. Like Pastor said, it's still smaller than some of our big textbooks. But it has the code. He compressed the entire lives of all the men that have ever lived from Adam and are going to live to the end of the age in that 66 books. Now, how am I going to know it? You have to familiarize yourself with that text. And you also have to pray in the Spirit. Don't let me lie to you. You know, I'm a computer technologist. You have the code, but you also have to unravel the code. You have to break the code. You know, you have to exploit. And so you have the programming language, but you also need the computational power. You need the processor. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that knows your path. He's the one that knows which part of Genesis is yours. He's the one that knows that one verse that is yours. The Bible says that he will show us things to come. So the Holy Spirit is a made, like Prophet said, in this third day, in this 21st century, the technology can't be using analog when you're supposed to be using digital power. And so that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And you need to start practicing these things, guys, early. Don't wait till you're 30 or 40 or you marry. Start practicing now. Make your mistakes now. God is here to help you. The Holy Spirit is the God on earth. He's your helper. Do you understand? And he's one that wrote the Bible. He's the one that knows what part has to do with the academics, the Daniel part, Joseph part, Rahab part. I mean, well, I'm talking about faith. You understand? Ruth part. Different areas. There are mistakes, what to learn. Oh, the blood is here. Discipline is here. You know, everything is there. And that's where the word is as your map. And then the Holy Spirit is the guide. He's the one that wrote it and he will show you things to come. He will guide into all truth. So you need to start praying in the Spirit. I just want to say this. Pastor was talking about Pastor Kwadwo Yemade, a spiritual son of his. The guy said that he got to a point, there was a time he was just praying in the Spirit. He would just be praying in the Spirit. He would just be praying in the Spirit, you know, for hours or days, you know. It might not be the same experience for you. But, you know, at the end, what he was doing, the Bible said when we are speaking in tongues, we are speaking mysteries, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world for your glory. So you need the word of God and start reading it, whether you like it or not. I'm sorry to say. And then you need to pray in tongues, whether you like it or not. I'm sorry to say. There is no cutting corners about this. And then, of course, you need to come to church because there are some things you might not understand. But the Holy Spirit will use the pastor to explain to you and to interpret it to you. You know, we'll go deeper into these things next week by God's grace. As long as I was seeking the kingdom of God. But one lesson I also picked from what Chinedu said. Jonah, humility. You must be humble. If you want to seek God's kingdom, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You must just, from the beginning, I know we are not humble from the beginning, but I know I'm proud. But God, I'm willing to be humble. I'm willing to learn of you. I'm willing to, when you correct me, reorientate or reroute. You know, when I'm going the wrong route. Let's just bow our heads as we pray. You know, I just want to talk to God to grant you grace to seek first the kingdom, the heart. To seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. In every situation. What is the kingdom? The dominion of the king. The dominion, the mind of the king. Every little way I'm getting it. If you will to do his will, then will you know? Are you even willing to do his will? It's really me. It's not God that has a problem. It's really me that has a problem. And so, God, I know there may be times of resistance, but please have mercy on me. Help me to begin to change. Help me to begin to seek your kingdom, to begin to seek your will first in every situation. Yeah, today I might fall, but help me to quickly wake up to that reality and repent. To seek first the kingdom. In person, in relationship, in process, in circumstances. You might not get a spectacular vision, a spectacular word immediately, but at least you sought it. start it. Start. Just start. Just start doing your own part. Don't worry. God will unravel in the minutes, in the hours, in the days, in the weeks, in the months, his will. But once he says, the guy is willing, oh, the guy has a heart for my kingdom. He has a heart to seek me in every situation. You start to see the supernatural and the spectacular. It's the heart that God is more concerned with. Say, my son, give me thine heart. That's where he plants his kingdom. That's where he plants that satellite dish of his kingdom. To be able to receive signals from him. To be able to know his will. Concern every situation in simple things, in little things. Then later in the super things, in the mega things. Let's even start with that. Let's stand up on our feet as we pray together. Say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. We judge ourselves and we condemn our wicked actions and attitudes, especially where we have not sought you first in our lives, on a daily basis, in situations, in challenges, and to become like you. Where we have not sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all other things will be added unto us in due season and for our benefit. Father, we repent of this sin of fear, of ignorance, of disobedience, of worry, of anxiety, of competition, of worldliness. We ask that you please forgive us. Cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness and fears. We purpose and determine in your mercy and by your grace to seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, your character development in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls, in our bodies, in our circumstances, and your will to be done in every circumstance and situation. Remind us in every circumstance and situation and decision to seek first the kingdom of God, to acknowledge you in all our ways, that you may direct our steps and our path. Help us to be used to studying your word, to be learning of you, and to pray in the Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit, our guide, the guide of our youth, may show us things to come and guide us into all truth in every area of our lives, so that truly your kingdom might come on earth in our lives, and your will be done in every area of our lives concerning every matter on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for on a daily basis, wisdom, strength, direction, guidance, help, delighting in Rakaya and seeking for the kingdom, Rakaya, joy, peace, humility, character, wisdom, strength, delighting in you, in your presence, oh, Marabakodia, the fruits thereof, Nabakaya, reproduce in our souls, Nabakaya, in our bodies, Nabakaya, in our circumstances, Nabakaya, in our choices, Nabakaya, decisions, Nabakaya, in every area of our lives and those around us, Nabakaya, Pazotira, in our regional heavens, Nabakaya, to the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.